Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to be with you today. So good to be with those of you joining us online. Could we make some noise and welcome in our online Vineyard family? Come on, let's hear it for them. Also, this is Veterans Weekend this weekend. And so listen, if you have served or are currently serving in any branch of our military, would you please stand right now? Come on, don't be shy. You're always so shy to stand up. Come on. Let's hear it for them. Men and women, thank you for serving. Thank you for serving. They're always so shy to stand up, but thank you for serving. We owe you a debt. So my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. So 2 weeks ago, my wife, Debbie, and I, we flew to Phoenix, Arizona for a little pastor's get-together out in Phoenix. But I'm just curious. When you are boarding an airplane, do you prefer the window seat, the aisle seat, or the middle seat? Okay, let's just take a little poll here today. How many of you say, I prefer the window seat? Any window people in the room? Okay. How about this? How about anybody? I prefer the aisle seat. Any aisle people in the room? Okay. All right, here we go. Anybody? I prefer the middle seat. Anybody? Yeah. That's like the middle seat's like a precursor to hell. Okay, that's what the middle seat is. So when we flew back from Phoenix, my wife and I, 5-hour flight back from Phoenix, we both had a middle seat. 5 rows apart from each other. So I'm in the middle seat, and right over here next to me is the window seat, and there's a dude, 20-something young man dude over here, falling asleep the entire time on me. So he's like, boom. Like he never woke up. It just hits my shoulder and then wakes back up. It was wild. 2 hours, this guy's fallen asleep on my shoulder. So, but you're going, Pastor Kevin, why are you talking about this? Okay. Because of something I read recently. You know, they do studies about all kinds of crazy things all the time. And they said that you can tell a lot about a person. You can tell how selfish or generous a person is by the seat they choose on an airplane. So, according to this study, which seat on an airplane do you think selfish people take? How many people think it's the window seat? They take the window seat. How many people think it's the aisle seat? They take the aisle seat. Okay, if you're online with us, just put it in chat. How many people think it's the middle seat? Yeah, absolutely not. No, the middle seat. So it's got to be the window or the aisle. What this study said is that selfish people ended up taking more often the window seat. And I tried to find the reason, and what the article said, the reason was is because selfish people don't mind asking the other two people to get up when they got to get out to use the restroom. So, but let me switch it now. Let me switch it. Let's talk about generosity for a minute. So between men and women, who do you think is more generous, men or women? I heard. That was a woman. Women. I heard that. So, again, let's take a little poll here. Come on online. You're in the chat. Okay. How many people think women are more generous according to the study? A lot of studies have been done. How many think it's men are more generous? Any takers on the men? Okay. It's a pretty 50-50, but so. The final retail price is. So, women or men, which one is more generous? Guys, I got bad news for you. Women are more generous than men, according to the article. All the ladies are applauding right there. All the guys are going, not a chance. Okay, so, but ladies, listen. Ladies can help us guys be more generous. Again, they did these studies. So, they took this group of people, these adults. They brought them together. They played these little silly games, and then they won money. And then they put them all in separate rooms and said, I want you to use the money and donate. So the guys, when they're in a room by themselves, donated nothing. Ladies donated. But when a woman was present in the room with a guy, didn't even have to be a woman they knew. When a woman was present in the room with a guy, donations went up 2 and 3 times as much. Ladies, you can help us be more generous. So ladies, you rock. Ladies, you rock. Now, unless you pick a window seat. So this weekend, we are continuing our series called We Are Vineyard, where we're looking at the 6 core values that make us us as a church. But the core values are more than just make us as a church. These are core values I want us to have in our lives as individuals. That when we live our lives, when these values inform our lives, the way we live, individually and corporately as a church, it's a game changer. It changes everything. So we've been talking about these six values. So far, we've looked at the value of one more, fun-loving, always-growing, church of the second chance. Those are the first four values we've gone over already. Now, if you missed any of these weeks, I encourage you, strongly encourage you, go to YouTube, go to MiamiVineyard.com, and watch those messages you might have missed. This weekend, we're in value number five. This weekend, I want to talk about our value of crazy generous. That we want to be a church, and we want to be a people who are crazy generous with everything, with our time, with our talents, with our treasure. We want to be crazy generous because we serve a God who is crazy generous. This God we serve is crazy generous. But can I tell you, can I just be honest with you? This value of being crazy generous, this was not always a part of our church. And it was not always a part of me. And so I've told you this before in this series that churches, not just this church, but most churches, they tend to kind of reflect the values and the sometimes almost the personality of the leadership in the church. And so because this wasn't a value for me, it wasn't a value for the church. And see, I grew up with six siblings. There's seven of us. And my mom had seven kids in 9 years. So when I was growing up, man, you had to take what you can get when you can get it. And so I grew up with this idea of taking and a lot more than giving. And I wonder how many of you can relate to this, that when you go to a hotel, right, and they have all these little free bottles of shampoo and free bottles of conditioner and free pens and free pads of paper and not the towels. That's something totally different, okay? Not the towels. But they got those little freebies, right? I loaded up on those freebies. There was no freebies left in my hotel room because come on, a little honesty in the house. How many of you take those freebies that are there for you? Come on, let me see your hands. Yeah. Yeah, we know what that's like, right? Right? So listen, if you're in the chat with us right now online, live with us right now, put in the chat. If it's free, it's for me. Go ahead, put in the chat right now. But it was the mindset, right? It was a mindset. I was always quick to take, but not quick to give. And when I went off to college, I met this young woman named Debbie. She wasn't like that. She was different. She was generous. She was a giver, and I noticed that. Like, we'd go out for pizza, and there'd be like five, six of us, and she'd pay for everybody. And I'm thinking, dang, girl. You got, like, lots of money. But I noticed there was something different about her. And it wasn't that she had all this money. It's just that she had a different mindset with the money she had. See, it wasn't that she had all this money. What she had was a different mindset with the money she had. And it wasn't for her. It wasn't about taking and getting and accumulating as it was for me. For her, it was about helping someone else and the joy she got from doing that. It was so powerful for me that a few years later, I went and married that woman named Debbie. And look, can I just say to you, for all y'all here in the room and online with me right now, y'all single, maybe looking for somebody, and not saying you have to look for somebody, but if you are looking for somebody, look, can I encourage you? Traction is important. Looks, yes, that stuff's important. But what's more important is what's happening with somebody on the inside. Choose somebody who's got character and got values. And here's what I tell people all the time. Look, here's what you do. If you're single, run hard after Jesus. And when you find somebody running next to you, that's the one. That's the one. Listen. That's free advice. Okay, no charge for that. Okay. But what I want to do today is I want to share with you a little bit about my journey of generosity, because I think it might be your journey too. I know it's a lot of other people's journeys. But listen, can I just say this? When we get this, when we can move out of this take kind of mentality and we can move into a give or a generous mentality, can I tell you, it changes everything. Because when we live in this world that all we do is take, right? I got this bag and I'm just trying to fill the bag, man. I'm just trying to fill my bag. When we live like this, it keeps us just wrapped in this deal, and we feel anxious all the time. We feel stressed out all the time. Like, where's the next one coming from? But people who live differently than this, people who live with crazy generosity, they live in a different way, and it changes so much. It is an absolute game changer. So I want to talk a little bit about it today. But I'd love for you to locate something for me. I'd love for you to locate some message notes as we get started. Some message notes. So, locate message notes are not in print. They're all virtual. They're all electronic. So you can find them on our Miami Vineyard app. If you have the app already downloaded, now'd be a great time to open the app. If you haven't yet downloaded the app, very simple. Go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard, or if you're in the room today, scan this QR code in the seat back in front of you. It's immediate download to our app. Once you get the app downloaded, tap on this weekend, tap on message notes. This weekend, message notes. And they'll be right there both in English and Espanol. You can follow me on the app. So what I want to do today is I want to give you two different mindsets when it comes to this thing about generosity. The first one, if you're taking notes today, the first one, as you see it listed there, is what I call the bag mindset, the bag mindset. This was me. This is where I was living, in the bag mindset. In the bag mindset, here's what it is. Here's what the bag mindset is. There is never enough. If you're taking notes, there's never enough. There's never going to be enough to go around. So I got to take those hotel pens, and I've got to take the whatever I come across, and I got to keep filling my bag because there's never going to be enough. But see, even with this mindset, even when the bag is full, there's never enough. There's never enough because it's a mindset. And we're looking for satisfaction. We're looking for fulfillment. And we think, if I could just fill the bag, I'm going to have fulfillment. But it never happens that way. Now in the Bible, there's a book in the Bible which we don't often go to, even if you read the Bible often. It's the book of Haggai. We don't often go to the book of Haggai in the Bible. It's a little book. It's in the Old Testament. There's 66 different books in the Bible, the book of Haggai. In the book of Haggai, there's God's people. And God's people are so focused on filling their bag. They're so focused on this, on their bag, and filling their bag, and so focused on themselves. But they're not focused on generosity. They're not focused on anybody else, and they're not focused on giving to God. They're just focused on themselves and filling the bag. So God comes to them, and God speaks to them and says this to them in Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. He says to them, look, you eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put them into a bag with holes. And God is saying, look, you're so focused on your bag, but because you're not focused on me, and you're just trying to fill your bag. But God says, look, your bag has got holes. He says, your bag has got holes. And they didn't even know their bag has got holes. They just know that the bag never fills up. Well, the bag has got holes because they're not generous. All they're doing is focus on themselves. And God says, look, when you focus on being generous, when you focus on me with your generosity and then others with your generosity, he says, I'm going to take care of this bag and your bag's not going to have any holes. And so the real problem is that the bag has holes. And so what I call this is the bag mindset. And I think this is where most people in this nation live, in the bag mindset. Money comes in, it just goes out. And we all know money comes in, it just goes out. And we say, I never have enough. And we say, you know, Pastor Kevin, I would love to give. I really would. I'd love to give more money. I'd love to be more generous, but there's not enough in the bag. And it's just not enough in the bag. And this was me. This was me. This is me. There's not enough in the bag. And, you know, I was raised with this. I heard this a lot in my house. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. Anybody heard that? Yeah. Money doesn't grow on trees. Yeah. When it's gone, it's gone. Don't waste anything. My mom at our house, she would reuse aluminum foil. Anybody in your house reused aluminum foil? Yeah, okay. You know what else would happen in our house? We would reuse gift wrapping paper, right? You'd open up real slowly. Don't mess up. Don't mess it up. We're going to save that and use that again. At our house, we even reused toilet paper. No, I'm just playing. No, I didn't do that. No. Just done. Pastor Kevin, you went too far. Okay. Let me just say, nothing wrong with recycling and reusing unless it's toilet paper. But it was about a bag mindset. It's about a scarcity mindset. A scarcity mindset. There's not enough to go around. I'm not going to have enough. There's not enough to go around. It's the bag mindset. It's a scarcity mindset. I got to keep putting stuff into the bag. It's a scarcity mindset. We got all these student loans. We got all these car payments, a house payment, expenses, inflation. Man, Pastor Kevin, the rent is like through the roof. And have you seen the price of eggs lately? I want to be generous. I really do. I want to be generous. I want to give. But there's not enough in the bag. And I think the vast majority of us, we know what this is like to live in the bag mentality. I know what this is like. I've lived here. And honestly, I got to fight it. We got to fight it all the time because we want to keep going back to the bag. We got to fight it all the time. We got to fight this mentality because God wants to bring us into a generosity mentality. But can I just tell you, look, when you live like this, it is really debilitating. It really is because you're so stressed all the time about money. You're so like, you're just, and really what this is a trap. You feel trapped. I can't be generous and I can't give and I can't give to God and I can't give to other people because I feel trapped in this. And this is what this mentality does. It keeps you trapped. You could have hundreds of thousands of dollars in your bank account, but you could still have this mentality that I can't afford it. Let me tell you, this was me. Now, I didn't have hundreds of thousands, but this was me. I was in this bag. So God started working on me. He started working on my mind. He started working on your heart. And for those of you who've been followers with Jesus for any length of time, you know how God has a way of working on you. You know that. So about 27 years ago, when I was 8, okay, I just want to clarify. Some of you doing your math going, what? So 27 years ago, I heard a pastor friend talk about this. He talked about something called the scarcity mentality. And as he went on and as he talked, I'm going, this dude is talking to me. Ever have somebody talk like right to you? Yeah. This dude is talking to me. Like that's me. Dude, you are describing me. That's me. This is where I've been living in this scarcity mentality. And then he went on to share a story about what he did and what his church did to help break out of this bag mentality, the scarcity mentality. And I heard the story, and I said, we're doing that. We're doing that. And what he did was they gave away the entire bag. They just gave away the bag. What they did was they took an entire weekend offering. You know, the offering that comes in here on the weekend, this is the offering that goes to pay for everything around here. What comes in on the weekend? Okay, there's no Vineyard Sugar Daddy out there. I just want you to know. Some people think there's like these millionaires out there just bankrolling this. No, that is not the case. It is your giving and 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 my giving. It's our giving. It's our generosity that makes this place happen. So we decided, and what he challenged us, his pastor friend challenged us, he said to take the whole offering and give the whole thing away. Now that is freaky crazy generous. Give the whole thing away. It's like if you took your whole paycheck and gave one paycheck away. Just give it away. You're going, not so much. Okay, this is what he challenged us to do as a church and people in church. So I said, you know what? We're going to do that. So back in 1995, when I heard this message and we did this, back in 1995, we were a much, much smaller church. I mean, we were just getting started. Our church was about 120 people, and that was counting pregnant ladies twice. I mean, it was... And our weekly offering at that time was about $2,500 a week. That's what made everything happen. It didn't make it happen well, but it made it happen. But see, at that time, the whole church was kind of living in this, we were all stuck in the bag mentality. The whole church was. I was, the people were, we're all stuck in this bag mentality. And so $2,500 a week. And I said to our folks, if we're ever going to break out of this mentality, we've got to learn to trust God. And put our hope in God. Because when we give to God, God owns it all. God has more than enough. So we're going to put our hope and our trust in God. We got to believe that God has enough, And so we decided, okay, we're going to take the offering, we're going to give it away. And I decided we're going to give it away to a church that had much less resources than we did. They were a church in Little Haiti, downtown area of Miami. Little Haiti church. It was a smaller church. It was almost entirely black church, Haitian church. And I knew the pastor. I was friends with him. And I knew that, you know, they could really use this money. And so I challenged our people. I said, look, here, look. Make sure, so here's, on this weekend, we're going to receive this money, on this weekend. Please bring your tithe, your whole tithe, not just $5 or $10, that's a tip. Bring the tithe. Tithe is 10%. So if you make $1,000, $100 is 10% that goes to God. You make $2,000, you drop the last zero, $200 goes back to God. That's a tithe. You make $5,500. So bring the whole tithe. I told our people, listen, bring the whole tithe, because they weren't bringing the whole tithe. I said, listen, bring the whole tithe. And then what if you do is pray about, because tithing is just the basic level of generosity to God. That's just basic generosity. But if you want to go crazy generous, you've got to go above the tithe. And so I said, just pray to God and see if God will, you know, give a little more than that. So bring your tithe. And then pray about it and see what God would do. So my wife and I, you know, we're going, hey, we've got to, you know, let's. So we're going to bring our whole tithe that day. And then my wife and I, we prayed about a number to give over and above the tithe. And so she prayed separately, I prayed separately, and then we came together to compare a number that we had in our mind. And our numbers were the same. And they were a big number. See, back in the day, we're just a tiny church. Not making a lot. We were a single income family. We had 4 kids under the age of 5. It was right before Christmas where we gave this offering away. But I said to myself, we're living in this bag mentality. It's like we're just like we're living here. And I said, I want us to break out of this. And my wife wanted us to break out of this. And so we decided we're going to give this bigger number. But we weren't the only ones who decided that. People in our church family said, we're going to take this opportunity. We're going to break out of this bag mentality as well. So that weekend, where we normally get $2,500, that weekend, we got $17,000. 6 times what we normally got. So what do you think my first thought was? Keep some in the bag. Absolutely it was. Like $17,000? Do you know what we could do with $17,000? Honest to God, my first thought was, well, let's just give half of it away. That's still a lot. But I knew I couldn't do that. But you see, the bag, we're always going back to the bag. We just get sucked in by the bag. And it's like I had a fear of giving that much away. But no, we're going to give the whole thing away. So that night, now the church didn't know we're doing this. They had no idea we're doing this. It was a total surprise. So they had a Sunday night service, so just, you know, just a small group of people happening. And so back in the day, back in 1995, we started this church. I'll tell you more about this next weekend, but we started out as an all-white church. So there was 50 of us, white people, that went to downtown Miami after dark into this church. And we walked into this church, and the first thing the pastor said is, I can't believe there's 50 white people here after dark in this church. Because this kind of, he knew, it's kind of scary. The church was located in kind of a tough spot there in the city. And so he said, but I see my friend, Pastor Kevin, is here. And so as soon as he said my name, I walked to the front. And he says, oh, it looks like he got something to say. He did not know what was going on, but I had in my hand an envelope. And I said, would you open this envelope and would you read the little note? I just wrote 3 lines with handwritten, just 3 lines. And I said this, I said, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. And I said, we hope this helps. And then, you know how when you read out loud, your eyes go in front of your voice? And then my next line was, here's our check for $17,000. And he read it, but he couldn't say it. He just started weeping and crying. And then all of his people started weeping and crying. And then all of our people started weeping and crying. And then I started weeping and crying, and nobody knew what he was crying about. But we're all crying. And then finally he collected himself and he said, here's our check for $17,000. And there was such a shout that went up inside that church from our people, because our people didn't know what the amount was either. They were waiting to see what it was too. It blew their minds, blew the church's minds, blew my mind. So $17,000. So that was just a fantastic night, right? So then church happens again the next weekend. It's Sunday again. Church is happening again. And here's my thought. These people, my Vineyard people, 120 people, they just gave everything they had. So not only do I make a zero deposit in our bank account, church bank account, that weekend, here it is now the new weekend. They just gave everything away. There's no way they get anything left to give. What am I doing? I'm going back to the bag. I'm thinking like the bag, thinking scarcity. I'm thinking, they got nothing left to give. So I'm going to have a zero balance this week too. So church happens. We take up the offering. But I taught our people how to break out of the bag mentality and into generosity. I taught them. I said, you honor God. You give God that first part. You give God that first part. Not just one week, but every week you give God that first part. And they took me up on that. So we went from $2,500 to $17,000. I'm thinking we got zero that next week. Then next week it was $1,000 higher. It was $3,500 was the offering, and it stayed that way and stayed that way until we started growing. Because God is God of it all, and because people took God up on His offer. He took God up on His offer, and God said, I will provide for you. I've got your back. I've got your back. I've got your back. And so when we give to God that first 10%, this is what God does. And this leads to number two, if you're taking notes. Look, so the first mentality is the bag mentality. Here's the second mentality is what I call the barn mentality. The barn mentality. And here's the barn mentality. There's way more than enough. See, the bag is just tiny, but the barn is huge. Look what God says. It says, honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income. That's that 10%. That's that first part. First part goes back to God. First part. And He will fill your barns to overflowing. God will do that. That's the barn mentality. If we will trust Him, if we will bring the first part to Him and say, God, I'm trusting You with this. I'm going to give You this. See, sometimes we think of barns. We think of these little sheds behind our backyard. That's not a barn. I grew up on a farm in Wisconsin. Let me show you a picture of a barn. Here's a barn coming up on screen. Look at that barn. Barns are huge. Barns are as big as this building. Barns are huge. God says, look, if you trust Me, you don't have to live in the bag mentality. You can live in the barn mentality. Generous and generous and generous because God's got you. God's got you. God's got you. And many of you have experienced this. You've experienced this idea of giving to God and God being generous with you. I want you to hear now from somebody in our church family who's kind of went through this journey of giving and generosity. So here is Jose's story. Take a look at this.
Hey, I'm Jose Nicholas, and this is my story. So back in 1997, I was actually a second round pick for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and my entire family saw for the first time a pretty sizable check. It was the first time that I was faced with tithing. I did have a relationship with Christ, and I want to say that it was a strong one, always growing, but it was something that my parents told me I had to do. That number was big enough to scare me, and now looking back throughout my trajectory, I've known that I've had this fear of scarcity when it comes to finances, when it comes to money. After my professional baseball career, I got into real estate, and times were great. Everybody was enjoying great success. My wife and I purchased a home, and the market shifted, and we were in a bit of some struggles. It was really pressed on my heart that I really wanted to talk to Pastor Kevin. And the gist of it was that I was potentially living in a way that maybe wasn't entirely honoring to God. And it was more of an exploratory conversation. And in that moment, we were challenged a little bit. We started talking about what tithing would look like. So we started to pray about it. The initial reaction wasn't what I expected or hoped. In reality, it took a lot of years to look back to realize that God was still our provider, except the only reason I couldn't see it back then was because He was providing for our needs and not necessarily providing our wants. So a lot of things started to really sort of surround the way that we started to look at our faith and how we were trying to honor God with the things that we were doing in our lives. I've been in real estate for about 15 years, but in that time, there was a gap where I started my own business. My wife and I did. Very first check that came in, we tithed almost immediately. And we prayed about it. It wasn't an impulse. We had been trusting that God is in control and that we're going to honor Him. The first 3 months of opening that business, we started to get our total expense covered in a miraculous way. We developed this favor with this amazing fitness company. I want to say that it was them seeing God working in our lives, but maybe they couldn't quite put that into words. But I'm sharing those two differences to share what it could look like when you are starting that faith life of tithing. It isn't always going to be this rosy story, because I think what's at work is what's happening on the inside. For me, it was an act of obedience. Holding on was a lack of trust. And being able to release that to Christ, God started to work in my heart in a different way. What that's starting to translate into my life is to start being aware of the other areas that God's asking me to be obedient with that generosity. My name is Jose Nicholas, and this is my generosity story.
So look, we encourage you here to do something we call First and 10, where we take the first 10%, we give it back to God. That's what Jose is talking about. The first 10%, the tithe, we give it back to God. And look, can I encourage you? If you're not doing this, I encourage you. Give it back to God. Just see what God's going to do in your life. And listen, but don't just do it once. Because as Jose was mentioning, it's a journey. It's a journey. You know, I did that once, Pastor Kevin. Nothing happened. Okay. Try it for 90 days. Take the first and 10 challenge for 90 days and see what's going to happen. Just see what happens in your life, in your world. And it's not all financial. God can bless you in other, all kinds of ways, with health and with mental health and with friends and different things. God will bless your life. That's what the Bible says. So I just want to encourage you with this. And look, also this, when we're generous with our resources back to God, we give to God through the local church we call home. When we're generous, then you and me and us, we allow us together as a church to be generous. Our church can be so generous because of your generosity. The reason we can serve the community and do all the things we do in this community is because of you and our generosity. And so we've been so generous with resources. Just that one offering, we had so much fun giving away the one offering that we didn't just do one. We gave away the offering 8 times for a total of $333,000. We give away almost a third of $1 million over the years of giving away those offerings. And so many other things, just generosity. We do something called Night to Shine, where adults experiencing special needs, they probably didn't get invited to their homecoming or their prom in high school, so we throw an event, an evening gala for them here at the church. We rent limos and give them rides in limos. We do makeup and their hair and the dresses and the red carpet. We feed them a meal. We have a DJ. They dance the night away. Everything is covered. We throw the party. Thousands. We throw the party. And that night, every guy is a king and every gal is a queen that night in Night to Shine. It's a phenomenal event that we do. Because of your generosity, that's when you can pull that off. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had here. To choose the right audio. Siri was talking to me. So, we have an event here called Light the Night. 2 weeks ago, it's an alternative to Halloween here at the church. A safe, fun alternative to Halloween where we brought everybody. We had games. We had all the kind of stuff happening. Candy. Woo! We were crazy generous with candy, man. You went. If you came to that, anybody come to Light the Night here a couple of weeks ago? Yeah. If you brought, you brought Light the Night. You went home with some candy. Yeah. Yeah, you, dentists are grateful. Yeah, so. And then about a month ago, we gave away, Hurricane Ian came and struck the west coast of Florida. We have a Vineyard church there. And initially, I was going to give him a check for $5,000, because that was generous. But as I sat on the number for $5,000, I thought, you know what? That's a generous number, but that's not a crazy generous number. So I doubled it to $10,000. And we drove over there and we gave them a check for $10,000 to that church that day. Because that's crazy generous. I didn't give them $10,000 of my money. I gave them $10,000 of our money. See, we're doing this thing together. And we can do so many crazy things with crazy generosity when we do this thing together. Because we're better together. It's all of our value of being crazy generous. We regularly go downtown Miami. We feed people experiencing homelessness, and we bring in these portable hot showers on a trailer so they can take a hot shower, but they may not have had in weeks. And we right now, we have a couple pastors in the Ukraine that we're helping support with the refugee situation in Ukraine. Some of you know, during COVID, we had huge food giveaways, drive-through food giveaways out here in the parking lot. And all of this because of Crazy Generous. Listen. Don't be left holding the bag when God wants to fill your barn. Would you pray with me as we wrap this up today? Would you pray with me? God, thank you for your crazy generosity toward us. God, you've been so generous to us in so many ways. In so many ways, God, thank you for your crazy generosity, God, to us. And God, thank you for the opportunities, God, we have to be generous to you and to be generous to each other. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for these moments in time. Thank you, God, that we don't have to live in the bag mentality. We don't have to live in the scarcity mentality. We don't have to live with the fear of not enough. We don't have to live there. God, we can live with, we don't have to be trapped in that mindset, but we can live in the mindset of crazy generous because you are a crazy generous God. And God, I pray, God, that you would give us opportunities, God, to be crazy generous. God, give us opportunities to be crazy generous, God, with you, with people. God, give us those moments. Give us those opportunities to be crazy generous. And God, I also want to pray, God, for those in this room today who are struggling financially. It is a challenging time. It is. With inflation, the dollar doesn't go like it used to. God, I pray that you'd move, God, upon the hearts and the lives of people. God, I pray that people would see your hand. God, that you would be Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. God, I pray, God, for those in tough financial situations, God, that you would see them, and God, you'd make a way where there seems to be no way. And I pray all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.